Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday. It's Brother Nate with another God's Word to Men broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Men broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives them to us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. For those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, once again, you know how we do this. Before we go into the lesson, we open up with prayer. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, I want to explain that to you. That is what we do. Before we go into any preaching or teaching, we go and we open up with prayer and give an invitation to God's Spirit to be with us and to reveal to us what we need. Amen. So wherever you listen to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer and let us petition the Lord together once again this day. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again, we come before you in humility. We humble ourselves before you and acknowledge that you are the all-wise God, and besides you, there is no other. Lord, we know that through your Spirit, you give revelation, you give light, you give understanding. And so, therefore, Lord, we petition you not just for the presence of your Spirit, but let you release through your Spirit those things we stand in need of. Father, don't let us make this journey in your word and this journey in this study without you, because we need you every step of the way. And so, Father, we magnify you, we glorify you, and we lift up your holy name, and we give you honor, praise, and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And, Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God once again. Thank God for all you that's listening. We are on a God's Word to Man broadcast. Amen. And tonight, we're on the subject, Jehovah's Witness, the Founder, Part 3. This should be the third and final part to this section on the series about the Jehovah's Witness. For those of you who are first-time listeners, I've been doing a series on the Jehovah's Witness, letting you know what they teach and what they believe. And I'm doing this for, number one, for those of you who are listening that are Christians, that you may be aware of what's going on, that you won't be deceived by these other religions who are coming, things that they said that are of God, which speak contrary to the Word of God. Amen. And so I'm also giving you this information concerning them that you may know how to minister to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm also giving this information to those of you who are listening who may be Jehovah's Witness. And you may say, well, what makes your faith in Christ or your faith in dealing as a Christian greater than what we follow, what we believe? I said, well, to you like this, the information I'm giving you, take it to the Lord and ask the Lord for yourself. Amen. I'm not going to give you some kind of formula till you go outside, look at a tree, see if it's going to turn orange or green. That's your sign. Or wait to see if it's going to rain hard out of the sky or rain some fire. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to make it just simple, okay? And if you really want to know if this is the truth, then you take all the information I've given you, even in this series. You can go back and look, listen to the past parts I've done already in this series, and take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen? And for those of you, once again, who are first-time listeners, tonight we're doing on Jehovah's Witness, the Founder, Part 3. I want to encourage you, if you're on this page, and if you see the God's Word to Man logo, I think maybe on your left, click on it. It should take you to episodes. And the good thing about Blog Talk Radio, it records the episode we do. And so the reason why I'm telling you this, because I encourage you to go back and listen to the past episodes. It's just like I tell people, this is why I tell people that, for example, Sunday school, come to Sunday school on time. If you know Sunday school lasts an hour, hour and a half, don't come in 20 minutes left or 15 minutes left, and then you sitting around and looking around like, what is everybody yet? And then when they get finished, you like, I don't understand. Well, see, if you were there in the beginning, you would get the understanding. And see, a lot of people have this knack of coming in late, and then they have this complaint that they're not being fed or not being taught the word. Well, if you come there on time, you'll get a better understanding. Amen? So that's why I want to encourage all of you. But right now, we're on Jehovah Witness, the Founder, Part 3. And on this part of the series, what I've been discussing with all of you, the listeners that have been listening, about who founded the Jehovah Witness. Now, of course, if you ask most of any Jehovah Witness, say, who founded this belief that you, who found? Of course, they're going to tell you God, okay, straight out. They're going to tell you God. Well, I'm here to tell you today that is not true. In fact, their teaching is in darkness. It is contrary to the word of God. They take and they add words or they subtract or whatever you want to call it to change the actual meaning of the scriptures. Now, the Jehovah Witness have a particular book called the NWT, which is the New World Translation. And they claim that this is the actual translation of the Bible. Okay? Once again, I'm here to tell you, no, that ain't true. Okay? That book that they have, they depend on their, quote, scholars for, quote, the actual meaning to the scriptures. Amen? Not on the dependency of the Spirit of God, or let the Spirit of God reveal or interpret. No. See, that's why you don't hear the Jehovah Witness hardly ever too much talk about the Holy Ghost. Because in the part of the series I've been doing on the Spirit of God, I showed you and gave you the information that they believe that the Holy Ghost is an active force. They don't believe the Holy Ghost is a person. And so they don't talk about getting revelation from the Holy Ghost or the Holy Ghost led and guided me. They don't talk that because they don't believe that the Holy Ghost is a person. They believe that the Holy Ghost is just an active force. So I've been on this part of the series called The Founder. I've been discussing with you all, they've been listening, and giving to you who actually founded the Jehovah's Witness. Well, we know that it was a man named Charles Taze Russell. And then I discussed with you, okay, what is this man? Was he saved or not? And according to what he taught and believed, he wasn't, okay? In fact, anytime somebody write a book that said the man Jesus is dead, forever dead, no. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, if you go back and listen to the series, I'll tell you now, give you a little sum up, that anybody that says that don't realize that's your salvation. Remember in Romans chapter 10, what does the word say in verse 8 through 10? He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, if you're saying the man Jesus forever dead, then that's your salvation. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul told you, if Jesus had not risen, you are yet in your sins and your faith is in vain. Amen? And then there was other things that he was against what the scripture talks about, eternal torment. He was against the atonement, okay? Amen. So, no, he was not saved. And then I discussed with you and went into about the actual character of Charles Taze Russell. And I just have to sum it up and be honest with you. We went through look at a couple things at part two last Sunday, and we saw that Charles Taze Russell is a liar. He was a liar and a deceiver, okay? A liar and a deceiver. He claimed to have some particular week called Miracle Week that he was telling people that grew five times faster than the average week. Well, from what I understand, the government tested it and found out it was even weaker than the regular week. But this man was getting money off of it. And so this newspaper, I think, called The Eagle, they don't want to expose him. He didn't like that. And then he went to court one time, more than one time, but this particular time, he was mad at this Baptist preacher who was exposing him and letting everybody know he was just a fraud. So he got so mad and decided, I'm going to take you to court and sue you for libel. And so he get into court and failed to understand that was the wrong move on his part because he was exposed in the area where he was telling people he knew what was called the dead languages. That's Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And so when he was there at the court, the lawyer of the Baptist preacher had him on the stand and exposed him where he had to admit he did not know the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin language. Then he exposed them because he was telling people he had been ordained by a particular religious body. And come to find out, he had to admit he lied about that. So in those two things, we looked at that he was a deceiver and a liar, okay? Now, I want to look at, as we finish this part of the series, three other things that he was involved in showing his character, okay, the kind of character he operated in. And for me to do that, I want to go through two scriptures with you. First, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse 22, the last verse in the 18th chapter. Now, as of late in the past couple of weeks, been having some technical difficulties, like when I come to the end of a broadcast, could get cut off. So, Satan, you is a liar. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I rebuke you, and you would not have the victory. This word would get out to the people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. Now, I'm going to present these two scriptures before you, and I'm going to tell you why, okay, that I'm presenting these two right here. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22 says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. Do you get that? But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Okay? Hallelujah. Now keep that in mind, okay? Let's go to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, New Testament. Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 13. Important that we know this because, see, Jesus said that many will come in his name, okay, and going to deceive many. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Now, look what the word of God says. But at that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you why I came before you with these two scriptures, because I'm going to bring up this other thing that exposed the real character of Charles Taze Russell. He was a liar and a deceiver, okay? And the reason why I brought this up, because remember Deuteronomy said, and God said this by Moses, that any prophet who claimed to speak in the name of the Lord, that which he speak, if it don't follow or come to pass, he said that's something God had not spoken, okay? That was just a prophet talking that, okay? And then Jesus said in Mark 13 that he let you know that no man know the day, the hour that Christ will return, okay? So if any man is telling you, I don't care who he are, who he is, rather, I don't care if it's your kinfolks who claim, I got this revelation from God, and I know the day Jesus is coming back. Don't you hear that? Because we're told right here in the scripture that no man know the day or the hour, nor not even angels. In other words, if an angel of God visits you, if an angel of God visits you in your house, there is one question you don't need to ask him because you're going to be wasting your time. Do not ask him what day Christ returning, because he said right here in the Bible he don't know. Okay. Now, I say that to say this. This is by Charles Taze Russell. Charles Russell was also known for giving a lot of false prophecies. Okay? A lot of false prophecies. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost on that. For example, and I guess this title I'm about to give you, it must be a title, maybe some book or something he wrote, but in his what is called Divine Plan of the Ages, get this, Russell prophesied that 1914 would see the battle of Armageddon and the dawn of Christ's thousand reign on the earth. Now, he said in 1914, the millennial reign, Christ's reign, going to be here on earth in the year 1914, and you'll see the battle of Armageddon. So when that fell, they changed it, or he changed it to 1915, and then from 1915 to 1918, okay? He also taught, now get this, that the end times had started in the year 1799.
and that, get this, Christ had returned to earth in 1874. Do you get that? Now, hallelujah. I don't really have to ask most of you, the listeners, is that true? Okay, you already know that ain't true. But this man was giving out false prophecies, claiming to know the return of Christ and giving dates. Okay, this is why I have a problem even with some ministers. I don't care if they're not a Jehovah's Witness, who even call themselves trying to come close to giving a date. I've been telling them, say, why don't you drop it? You finna mess up. You finna mess up people up. Because there are people who honestly looking at you and really, quote, believing some things that you're saying. And if you sit up there and say, well, I believe Jesus is going to come back in 9 years, blah, 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 blah. You know, there are going to be people that's going to be looking for that because you said it. So the best thing in you to do is to admit what the words say and say, I don't know, and drop it. Sitting up there and trying to say, well, I calculate it's going to be 8 or 9 years. Leave it alone, okay? That's what many times get me about some ministers that I've seen that do that. And see, what happens is that pride has stepped in, and you want to be seen as someone who came close to predicting it, and you want people to ho, ho, and run. No, I'm sorry. If anybody asks me, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to say the words that nobody, no man knows. Well, yeah, can you give us a date? No, I can't even give you. I'm sorry, okay? And I'm not going to try to give it to you. Incidentally, another one of the president of the Jehovah's Witness named Joseph Rutherford, also known as Jay Rutherford. Jay Rutherford, for those of you who are first-time listeners, he was the successor of Charles Taze Russell. So he took over after Charles Russell. He even started predicting Armageddon would take place in 1925. Then he moved a date. Then predictions were made also for the year 1975. And see, the Jehovah's Witnesses keep moving that date when all this stuff was going to happen, okay? Listen, I don't care if it's me. If I keep giving you dates of a particular thing is going to happen and it don't, what does that tell you, okay? I mean, come on. The Jehovah's Witnesses, see, they don't want to talk about that. And so when you say, hey, well, what about all those dates? I don't want to talk about that, okay? Because that was them. That wasn't the Spirit of God. God wasn't giving them that. That was them coming up with these dates. Wasn't God. Okay? That was them. And so if I'm coming across a man who constantly doing that, I'm walking away from him. Okay? Because you're telling me you're making up stuff and you're lying. And I want you to get away. Or I'm going to get away. One of us is going to get away. Okay? Amen. You got to have. So Charles Russell, and see, he failed to say what we read. No man know the day, the hour. And he is trying to give dates. Amen. So he was known to give numerous false prophecies. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, another thing Charles Russell was involved in, another particular court case. And one of the things about Charles Russell, you know, and for those of you who was listening thus far in this series, I was telling you about how that Charles Russell, he loved money, okay? And one of the things about him is that you go to expose him, he was quick to want to take you to court and sue you, okay? He want to sue and get some money. Well, this other thing he was involved in, he ended up being taken to court, okay? He ended up being taken to court. Now, I want to give you another scripture before I go in there. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Thank you, Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 34. Thank you, Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 34. I'm going to read verse 4. Now here, God was talking about the leaders of Israel at that time, called the shepherds, who was doing all kinds of evil. Okay? And when you get to the fourth verse, He told him, he said, the disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, and with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Now, the reason why I brought this up in connection with Charles Russell, because this particular court case that he was taking the court on, okay, was done by concerning his wife, okay? Concerning his wife, okay? Now, I want to talk a little bit about that, okay? Because, hallelujah, in 1897, Charles Russell's wife, her name was Maria, and if I'm not mistaken, Maria Ackley, okay? And in 1897, she left him. Okay, and 6 years later, which is in 1903, she sued Charles Russell. Okay, like I told you, Charles is quick to want to take you to court and sue you, but see, in 1903, she sued him. Okay, and in 1906, she was awarded alimony. Now, let me go through this a little bit more about you about this case. Okay, first of all, in 1906. When the courts granted the case to his wife, that Charles, you know, Charles lost the case, they awarded her, you know, that he had to pay for this particular thing that she sued him for, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. I want to give you somewhat what he said about himself. And this is what he said about himself in the Watchtower magazine. After the 1906 divorce court decision that granted his wife legal separation on the grounds of cruelty. Okay. This is what he said about himself. When that decision came down from the court, his wife was granted this legal separation where Charles Russell had to pay her, because I'm not mistaken, the amount was $6,036. Okay. This is what he said about himself. He said, not a soul in the world can point to a single act of cruelty or unkindness or injustice or lovelessness on my part toward any of the human family. The worldly have misunderstood, misinterpreted me, even as they did the Lord. Let me stop there for a minute. So now he comparing him being misunderstood, interpreted like the Lord. I'm here to say he ain't come nowhere near close to the Lord, okay? When you are doing these things, you know, I hear people say that. I'm just being misunderstood. And what they won't acknowledge is that they're actually doing this stuff that people are saying. Oh, people got me wrong, okay? If you're out there lying, you're wrong. If you're out there deceiving, you're wrong. It ain't nothing about people misunderstanding you. They get what you're showing up front. Now, I can see if you wasn't doing those things or you wasn't trying to do something that was evil and people misunderstand you. But no. And Charles Russell, that was his character. But anyhow, goes on to say that Maria sought in the court system what was legally termed at that time divorce from bed and board with alimony. Today would be termed legal separation. This is what she filed for. Now, from what I understand, she didn't want absolute divorce, which would terminate the marriage. Now, I didn't understand that, okay, because for the simple fact is, in that court case, her lawyer even had on the stand and had her to talk about, you know, at this particular time, it was this young lady that stayed with her and her husband, Charles. I think her last name was Ball. But anyhow, she was 20 years old when she stayed with them. And so what happened was Charles' wife began to find out about these little nightly visits he was making to this young girl. And she even said it in the court where that, you know, there was times that when she thought, I don't know, was he in the bed or in their room or something, he was in the girl room with his night clothes on. And then she would hear the girl call to him and say, I need you. And then they had other servants who were working in the Jehovah's Witness organization with them, even other girls and I think guys.
And so when they would be working at the office in that, Charles made it so that everybody went home except that girl. A girl had to come home with him, okay? And so it got to a point that it got so bad that the girl, I don't know, I guess she felt guilty or whatever, and she actually went to Charles' wife and told her what was going on. And so she told Charles' wife, now all this is being said in the court. She told Charles' wife that, hey, Charles had even was kissing her. And she told Charles, hey, I'm not your wife. And then he said, but you're my daughter. And the daughter have almost all the privileges of the wife. I call you my daughter. But he was kissing her, you know. And so the girl told her, said, Charles, say, he's like a jellyfish. He go from woman to woman, try to get them to do what he want. If that woman don't do what he want, he go to the next woman and all that. And so to make a long story short, in the court, when they asked her, you know, when they had her keep talking about it, and they asked her, did she confront him? She said, yeah. Then it got to a point he admitted that, you know, and all that. Sometimes he would get angry. At other times when she talked to him about, hey, what you were doing, the inappropriate, and he admitted that and all that he, you know, all that was happening and stuff like that. But that part that she testified of, the court didn't accept that because they said that the time she filed in his charges didn't go along with the date that she gave about when this stuff happened. So what they did accept, okay, and come to understand this, that when Maria filed for this legal separation, Charles fought her every step of the way. And so in 1906, when the jury granted her request, he appealed it. In fact, he refused to submit to the judgment of the court. He refused to pay the alimony. He refused to pay Maria's court order attorney fees and court costs. Then on top of that, now he was, you know, stationed around mostly in Pennsylvania. He moved his business operation to Brooklyn, New York, to escape the Pennsylvania courts and Maria. And then while he in the midst now of facing contempt proceeding and an outstanding arrest warrant, he sailed to Europe and left Judge Rutherford, who was his successor, and if I'm not mistaken, also his lawyer at that time, to settle the matters with Maria in the Pennsylvania courts. Now, Maria, his wife, talked about how cruel that he treated her and how he belittled her in front of her servants. And then they actually found a letter, and this was presented in court, that Charles wrote to his wife that proved his mistreatment of her. So that's why she was so cruelty. Now, the Jehovah Witness do not like to talk about that, okay? Like I said, when the witnesses are witnessing to you, they're not going to bring up Charles Russell. And like I said, that's why I say, if you actually say, well, who's God's Jehovah Witness? They're going to say, God. Well, I'm here to tell you, God did not start the Jehovah Witness movement. It was started by Charles Taze Russell, and his character was, he was a liar. A liar, deceiver, cruel, adulterer, you call it. You know, you can call it, that's how he operated, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how he operated, okay? And this is the same man that has started what you know as the Jehovah Witness today. Yeah. He started today. And like I told you, see, you know, the Jehovah Witness don't want to talk about it. When they do, they say, oh, that ain't how it turned out in the case, and blah, blah. You know, they won't talk about all that, okay? The Jehovah Witness movement, I say this again, openly to anyone, the Jehovah Witness movement was not started by God. Okay? Hallelujah. God is not going to tell you believe in him 1 minute and on the same subject have you not believing in him and believing against him. That's not the type of God. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that God is the author of peace and not confusion. So if God were to have to tell you in one way in his word, say, hey, believe me on such and such a subject, and on the same subject come back and have you against that which he tell you to believe in, then that would be a God of confusion. That would be a one confused God that you have to ask him, say, okay, God, make up your mind. What you want me to believe or not believe or what? Okay. But see, that ain't the type of God we serve. If you are a true born-again Christian, that's not the type of God you serve. You don't serve a confused God. You serve a God that knows what he wants, okay?
He's not confused. He's not 1 minute telling you this on the same subject telling you the opposite. That ain't God. That's why I say that even when you get what people call prophetic words, well, what is called a prophetic word, and so like that, you always supposed to check it. And if you are given a so-called word from the Lord, and you know that the scriptures say differently, then that didn't come from God. Okay? But see, this is how people get caught up in a lot of deception and lies. Because, see, they don't go investigate nothing. So when you got so-and-so coming, supposed to be prophesying to them, and they jumping around, woo, 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 and they go do what the person said, and then it turns out bad, not good, they in deeper than what they were before, and now all of a sudden they mad at who? God. And come to find out, if you really were to check what you was told was spoken in a prophecy, you'll find out it was contradictory to the word. But because you wouldn't check, and see, this is why a lot of people, you know, I was talking to a sister today at Sunday school, and I was letting her know, you know, this is something I was seeing, that there are going to be some Christians that's going to be, you know, because they won't search out the word for themselves, they're going to end up in confusion. Because one of the things that your enemy, Satan, does is that to get you caught in any sin, web of deception, or anything, when he sends a word to your way, he always try to sugar it to make it sound good to your ears. So if you ain't one that gets in the word and study, then whoever he was sent to you to speak thus and thus or whatever, you just automatically take it because you like it sounds right. And because of that, you will go ahead, okay, and get into that thing. Now you are into sin. There have been some people this day who have even married other people based on what someone else told them. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not telling you that God cannot give you a word through someone else, but if you knew from the scriptures God's protocol and follow it, it can save us a lot of problems, okay? And what has happened, that many of them did not follow the protocol. But just because the person that said it to them, they either good buddies, good friend with them, really like them, look at them real high, regard them real high and all that, they just took them for their word and found out the person they married, now they married, it's a nightmare. Okay? It's a nightmare. And so the funny thing about people is that when that happens to some people, they don't just get mad at the person. Oh, no. Oh, no. They take it out on God. So when you come back to them and talk about God would do this, God do that, they got a snappy attitude with you and say, and they someone would tell you, I don't want to hear about God. Because if God like what he is, why he let this happen to me? Hallelujah. And I'd be like, you had the opportunity to get in the word, but you won't. Okay? I said it before and I say it again. People are going to quit taking God for granted because it's some stuff that's going to happen. When God said, study to show thyself approved, he wasn't talking to himself. He was not even talking to the angels. He was talking to his people. But what has happened? We have run through, just run through. We so busy, and we all we do is talk about what we want to do in the Lord. Oh, I want to do this. I want to know the word. I want to do that. Oh, nothing but excuses. But I be so busy. Well, that tells me right there what's more important to you. Amen. Hallelujah. If I told some of you to not physically eat nothing, y'all look at me like I'm crazy. Okay? Because you're like, man, if I don't eat nothing, I'll die. But see, the thing about it is the word of God is spiritual food for your spirit. And if you don't feed it, guess what? Just like your physical body, you get what I'm coming at. And so, therefore, people are spiritually weak because they have not fed the proper food to their spirit, which is the word of God. And so now being weak, that which evil come can slap them all around and throw them all around, just like the Bible said, being carried by with every wind of doctrine, they can be thrown here, there, and everywhere. Have you ever tried to, let's say, wrestle somebody one time, you were real weak, didn't turn out well, did it? Nah, I didn't think so. Okay? Maybe at other times you would have got them, threw them down, but then they just start throwing you down around like a piece of paper. And you'd be too weak to do anything. And see, that's what has happened to many of God's people. Because we have taken 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 for granted. Hallelujah. And now you got these other religions coming up here telling you stuff, and you going, well, that sound good. That sound right. No, I don't care how it sounds. If it's against Scripture, it ain't right. Listen, you already got many in the world think that Christians are dummies. I'm just going to be straight with you. They think that we are dumb, stupid. We don't know nothing, okay? In fact, some of them, when you tell them, if you mention, let's say, the singer Rick James, you would literally have to put your hand over their mouth. Their mouth fly over. Oh, how you know? What you doing know about Rick James? You know, I've had it happen to me on my job. You know, people, I call out a certain name of a singer or something like that. Man, they just looked at me like, huh? What you doing knowing? How you know that? I said, man, I had to get saved like you need to. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, you know, Jehovah's Witness, they come around your house. And, you know, I have testified this before. When I used to live in a certain part that I'm living in now, I lived in another part. And when I lived in that part, Jehovah's Witness used to come quite a bit to my house on Saturdays, okay? They didn't come every Saturday, but they used to come quite a bit. And so I had some dealings with them. And so I saw their book called the NWT, the New World Translation. And this lady, she called, said she was talking to me. And we began to talk about Jesus. And she opened that book, and she started reading from John 1 and 1. And I saw what that said in their book about John 1 and 1. And I looked and I told her, oh, no. I said, no, that ain't what the scripture says. Well, I said, no. Mm-mm. Because, see, the Jehovah's Witness, they twist the scriptures. If you don't study the scripture for yourself, you accept it. Because you'd be like, well, it almost sound right. You know, they did say Jesus is God, not a little G God, okay? He's Almighty God, as I've shown you that in the series, okay? Now, I want to present one more thing to you about Charles Russell and his deception with the character or what he operated in. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to read to you about the Honolulu incident, okay, situation. You said a Honolulu situation. Yeah, I just need you to bear with me here, and I want to read to you about the Honolulu situation, okay. All right. Pastor Russell, who has found the atmosphere of Brooklyn, Uncle Gino, ever since the Eagle, that's a newspaper company that, you know, Charles had a problem with. They exposed that Miracle Week thing that he was lying about. Ever since the Eagle published the facts concerning his methods and morals, he's making some new records in the far parts of the world. He is delivering sermons, now get this, to imaginary audiences on tropical islands and completing searching investigations into the missions of China and Japan by spending a few hours in each country. Imaginary sermons. Sermons to imaginary audience, okay? Following the Eagle's exposure of Pastor Russell's Miracle Week enterprise and his publication of the testimony on the basis of which Miss Russell obtained a separation and alimony, Pastor developed the world tour idea, okay? He developed this, we call it the world tour idea. He set his printing plant to work to get out advanced literature, huge bundles of which were sent to every place where he intended to appear. Then he contracted for advertising space in many American newspapers to print his never-delivered sermons. His first stop after sailing from the Pacific Coast was Honolulu. And presto, the newspapers in which advertising space had been engaged printed long cable dispatches that presented the pastor's discourses. In one paper that printed the advertisement, the opening sentence read, Honolulu, Hawaiian Islands, okay? The International Bible Students Committee of Foreign Mission Investigation stopped at Honolulu and made observations. Pastor Russell, who is the chairman of the committee, delivered a public address. He had a large audience and attentive hearing. Now, this is what was reported. It was supposed to be reported. Then follows the sermon, full of local color and allusions to the paradise of the Pacific. I can now well understand the printed report makes the pastor say, "Why, your beautiful island is the paradise of the Pacific. I note your wonderful climate and everything which contributes to bring about the paradise likeness." And so on for two columns, okay? It has long been known that Pastor Russell has a strong imagination, but now it appears that he is even capable of delivering imaginary sermons. Pastor Russell never spoke in Honolulu during the few hours that his ship stopped there to take on coal. In the hope of securing an accurate report of his sermon, the Eagle, which is that newspaper company again, wrote to the editor of the Hawaiian Star, which is published in Honolulu. The following reply was shortly thereafter received, and this is the reply. In answer to your inquiry of December the 19th, this is the Hawaiian Star answering the Eagle about Charles Russell coming there preaching and all that. They said, in answer to your inquiry of December the 19th concerning Pastor Russell, I would say that he was here for a few hours with a Bible Students Committee, a foreign mission investigation, but did not make a public address as was anticipated. Wow. He lied. Let me put it to you point blank. He lied. Okay? Yeah. Making up imaginary stuff. Yeah. Imaginary sermons. And talking about he stopped at these places and gave sermons there. He may have stopped at the place, but he didn't give no sermon. Okay? He was a liar and a deceiver. He was a con artist. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. He operated in that character. Okay? And it's shown throughout what he has so-called translated to be from the Bible is against the true word of God. Amen? Now, as a Christian, those of you that are listening, if you really believe in the word of God, then you can see this of what I'm presenting to you. But if you like some people that say, well, you know, God said love everybody and be at peace with everybody, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he said love everybody. He didn't say love the doctrine. He didn't say love the sin. He didn't say love the iniquity. He didn't say love the abomination. See, that's what we miss it at. And see, the devil sees some Christians are like that. They think that love means accept the sin. Okay? So what the devil do? Just keep presenting it that way. Hallelujah. So, the thing in a nutshell is this, okay? Charles Russell, the founder, was not born again. He was not of God, okay? And God did not start the Jehovah's Witness movement. He did. Amen. God is not starting the movement that contradicts his word. You can counsel that. That ain't happening, okay? But once again, many of us as Christians, and some of you that's listening, maybe you ain't saved, you don't know what to look at, but this is why God has blessed me with this opportunity to give you this information. And the scriptures I gave you, hey, you can go look it up yourself. And then you got to ask God, okay? But those of you who are professing Christians, you must understand. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of the Jehovah's Witnesses are some nice people. And there's a couple things I can say about many of them. They're nice people. And number two, they get out there going house to house. I mean, they're out there, okay? But nice ain't going to get it. Nice ain't going to get it is your doctrine leading me to hell. So I don't care how nice you being. If your teachings that you're teaching me is leading me down the path to darkness, I don't care how nice you acting, okay? Nice don't get it. Born again, converted, with the true word, that's what's going to get it, okay? Amen. As Frederick Price will say, hallelujah. Amen. Okay? So, it's important. And some of you as Christians, you think you don't need to know this. Okay? Keep on thinking this. God has dealt with me and maybe other religions I'm going to present to you. They teach you what they believe. The Lord say the same. And some of you is right now thinking, I don't need to know this. Well, I need to know this. I don't need to know this. Okay, keep thinking that. See, the very ones of you that's saying that, you ain't really had to stand yet. Okay? You ain't really had to stand. You used to just saying,
in the church service, I believe the Lord Jesus ahead of my life and I love him. And everybody, woo, wow, hallelujah, hey, praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord, sister. And you think that's how far to go. And so when you get outside the church walls, it's party over here, party over there. Okay? So most of y'all that saying stuff like, well, I don't need to know this. What I need to know all this for? You ain't been tested really yet. Not in that area of standing on what you truly believe. See, this is what you have to understand. If you say you believe in Jesus, remember, whatever you believe in Jesus for or believing in Jesus about, you're going to be tested in that area. And see, many Christians miss that. And so they're comfortable just saying that stuff in testimony service. They're comfortable just saying in testimony service, oh, I believe in Jesus. Oh, he's the head of my life. Oh, can't nobody do it like him, blah, blah, blah. And so when you get outside of church wall, we hear a different story from you. Bill come, oh, I ain't going to make it. I just ain't going to make it. They even talk to you about the Lord. Yeah, I know that, but. Yeah, but you weren't saying all that but, you know, inside the service. So here's the thing. The devil is coming out more bold against the people of God. Amen. Coming out more bold against the people of God. Why is that? Because the people of God have started running the other way. Okay? I mean, we're like, as I said, you know, you hear Brother Lee said, you know, and many times, and I said, we're like the ostrich. Any kind of confrontation coming up, boop, our head's in the sand. Head in the sand. Ain't worried about the fail to understand we got more than the head. We got a body. But we put the head in the sand. Amen? Amen. And so now the devil has become more bold coming at the church. Why? Because the church is steady retreating. And every time the devil rear his head, the church starts walking backwards. It's just like you come up with somebody, you know, you or somebody by getting a fight, and that person you about to fight is scared of you, they start walking backwards. You start walking toward them, they start walking backwards. Well, see, that's what the church world, in a sense, is doing, except a few that is really standing, okay? And the few that's really standing, that's crying loud, sparing not, guess who they're getting persecuted by? You would say them sinners. Well, some of them, yes, them sinners, some. But they even getting persecuted by them Christians. Well, you say, well, what do you mean with them Christians? I'm talking about them Christians who's too afraid to speak up and is hiding in the corner, and they speaking out at them saying, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say that. We're supposed to love. Well, you missed the love thing. You missed what Christ is really saying about the love thing. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised and be glorified. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised and be glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. So this third and final part on Charles Taze Russell the Founder. And I want y'all to also understand this. Now, this information I've given y'all in this series so far about Jehovah's Witness, this ain't all of it. But what this should do is push you to even want to study more. Because I'm telling you, you go out there. See, that's why I have great respect for those missionaries that's going over to the other countries. Hey, they're going through the highest level of persecution. We're over here right now sitting in our kitchens and in our bedrooms and couches and living rooms and watching TV while they over there getting their lives threatened for the gospel's sake. But I got great respect for them. And I'm here to tell you that for any of you that's sitting there and you claim to be a Christian, and when I even report on these other religions, and you got this attitude like, well, I don't need to know this. What I need to know this for? Your answer coming soon. Don't worry. Okay? Because when they approach you, I don't care if Jehovah's Witness, Islam, or all that, and start popping that stuff on you and say, well, what do you believe? You talking about you're a Christian, and they go to try to tear that up, and you can't stand, and having you looking just looking bad. You know, you can't stand, and they tell you Jesus this, and Jesus ain't dead, and Jesus that, and you looking all for it, hey, and then they come ask you, well, what are you saying? You can't stand because you don't know the word. You'll find out. You'll find out. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hey, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's worthy to be praised and glorified. Amen. So before we end this broadcast, let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again, we want to thank you for this blessed day. We want to thank you for this opportunity you've given us, Lord God, to come before you in prayer and this opportunity that we can go into your word, Lord. So, Lord, this day, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask right now, Lord God, and I ask that you would bless those who are listening to this broadcast, touch their ears, touch their hearts, and reveal to them. If they inquire of you about this, Lord, reveal to them, in the name of Jesus, water the seed that have been sown and bring forth the increase for your glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. For your glory. In Jesus' almighty name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all you that are listening. Don't forget tomorrow night, Brother Emmanuel Murphy should be on with Brother God's With Men broadcast. And the Lord say the same Tuesday, I should be back. I'll continue on in the series of the Jehovah Witness. Praise be to God. Look for the advertisements there. So, once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And may God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.